Welcome to Christian News in Focus, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church. Your host is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis of news and current events from a biblical worldview. Here with this week's edition of Christian News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome. My name is Chris Long. I'm the host of Christian News in Focus, and we're glad to have you on the program with us today. And I want to give you an update about the Boy Scouts of America, the policy decision to allow for homosexuals to serve in and or lead a Boy Scout troop. The good news is that the Scouts delayed their decision last week, which is a good indication that your calls and emails and letters had made a tremendous difference. And I want to thank the listeners to this program all across the state of Ohio who called in. We had Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention was with us on the program. We highlighted this subject matter, and you weighed in with your calls, emails, and with your letters, and it has made an impact. Let's keep it up with the Boy Scouts of America. They have delayed the decision, according to this press report, until their next meeting in May. And I do understand that there is pressure on some of the board members of the Boy Scouts of America that were pushing for the policy change to allow for homosexuals to serve as troop leaders and to participate in the Boy Scouts of America, long-standing policy that restricted that. So we wanted the Scouts policy to continue as it's always been, as a fine American institution. And thank you and God bless each of you that made those calls. Well, on today's program, we're going to talk about election reform and voter fraud here in the state of Ohio. One of the things that the Ohio Christian Alliance does is that we produce an educational voter guide that we produce and distribute to churches across the state of Ohio during election cycles. In this last year, we distributed over 1.5 million voter guides statewide to thousands of churches. We cover the presidential, the congressional, the Ohio House, and the Ohio Senate races. We encourage people of faith to register and to vote and to be involved in the election process. Over the years, we've conducted candidate forums and candidate nights. We've conducted voter registration efforts throughout the state of Ohio. So our folks are involved on many levels, and that includes working at local boards of election or volunteering at the polls as poll observers or working the polls as poll workers or registering people to vote to get involved in the process. Well, over the years, I've not been one that has believed that there was widespread voter fraud in Ohio because our organization has been active in the process for 22 years. And because we have so many people that are working the process across the state, we get pretty reliable reports back to our office. We always get a few phone calls of suspicious activity. But in recent years, it's increased. And this last year in 2012, the days leading up to the November 6th election and on Election Day itself and then in the aftermath, the kind of comments we were hearing back from some of our folks across the state of Ohio was very alarming. And we put out this statement on back in November, on November 12th. In the 6 days following the November 6th presidential election, reports are surfacing from eyewitness testimony of our volunteers, poll workers, poll observers, and election officials detailing a story of widespread voter fraud and, in some instances, election fraud. The Ohio Christian Alliance, working in cooperation with other nonprofit organizations and a pool of volunteer researchers, will be conducting a detailed investigation of these reports in the coming weeks. We will report to the media, the Ohio Legislature, and the Ohio Secretary of State's office, and the Attorney General of the State of Ohio for possible prosecution of violators of election laws in response to our findings. We went on to say that the integrity of the election process is one in which the people of the state of Ohio hold in high regard. When that process is violated with voter fraud and election fraud, it diminishes the vote of every properly registered voter in Ohio. It is imperative that these reports be given the full attention they deserve in answering the question, is our election process fair and is it secure from widespread voter fraud? The evidence that is mounting is undeniable. The voter fraud took place this election in Ohio, and that not enough is being done to address the concerns of Ohioans in response to it. These initial reports demand a response of a full investigation from elected officials, the media, and the Attorney General's office so that the public's trust can be restored in the election process in Ohio that is both fair and accurate. Now, the Secretary of State was aware of our activity as a citizen's effort to really start pulling reports of memo sheets and incident reports from various counties across the state, and we're finding an alarming trend. problems with provisional balloting, problems with voting machines. Some of this, of course, made national attention, where people were using touchscreen monitors and they were pressing one candidate and another candidate kept coming up. Well, what we're doing is compiling sworn statements. These are citizens from across the state of Ohio, not connected to any one organization or group. These are just everyday Ohioans who have had problems either with voting machines, provisional ballots. They went in on election day and were told they already voted. Some people that had never voted early in their life, never requested an application for absentee ballot, yet were turned away at the polls because they were told that they already voted. Some of them were elderly and did not know that they could request a provisional ballot if it indicated they'd already voted. You want to talk about a disenfranchised voter? That's a disenfranchised voter. Well, with me on the phone today is Brian Williams, former director of the Summit County Board of Election. And Brian has been a good friend over the years, and he is very knowledgeable on this subject, and I want to welcome him to today's program. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, there was a story that broke this last week by John Fund, and the article reads, "The voter fraud that never happens keeps coming back." And it's a story that broke out of Hamilton County. The Board of Elections there has 19 possible cases of alleged voter fraud that occurred when Ohio was a focal point in the 2012 presidential election. And it focuses on Democrat Meloise Richardson, has been an official poll worker for the last quarter century and registered thousands of people to vote last year. She candidly admits to Cincinnati's Channel 9 that this week she voted twice in the last election. This is how Channel 9's website or the report goes. It says, according to documents, Richardson's absentee ballot was accepted on November 1st, 2012, along with her signature. She told an official she also voted at a precinct because she was afraid her absentee ballot would not be counted. "There's absolutely no intent on my part to commit voter fraud," she said. The board's document also states that Richardson was allegedly disruptive and hid things from other poll workers on election day. After another female worker reported she was intimidated by Richardson. During the investigation, it is also discovered that her granddaughter, India Richardson, who was a first-time voter, also cast two ballots. And then there's two other named individuals that use her residence who also voted. One, she said she used power attorney to vote in his name, and another person, she said, counts that as his residence. So we're talking about multiple votes from the same residence and individuals who may or may not cast that ballot. This lady obviously voted more than once, is guilty of election fraud, and is unabashed about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, Ohio election laws are written for honest people. They are of the assumption, they're old-fashioned, they're throwbacks to another era when people did their civic duty and wouldn't dream of trying to stuff the ballot box with more than their count. This is where voter fraud is probably most prevalent. People who are overly enthusiastic about their choice and are willing to stuff the ballot box, who are indifferent to the felony that they're committing, the fifth-degree felony, and have the law on their side because they can plausibly say, through their state of mind, that they were not trying to cast two ballots. They just wanted to make their ballot, make sure that they had a ballot that counted. The problem with that is this. When you vote absentee and then you go to the polls on election day and vote provisionally, or when you vote absentee and you go on election day and let's say the booth worker makes a mistake and lets you vote regularly, there are people who are willing to flood the system with as many shots as they can and hoping that they get one past the goalie, that the system isn't flawless in its ability to catch two ballots from one voter and therefore they get to vote. And that's probably the most prevalent kind of absentee voting, voter fraud, and most of it stems or originates because of the lax identification requirements around absentee voting.
Well, here's some of the things that we're finding, Brian, and basically what is a statewide citizens audit of boards of election and the election process and voter registration process. These are volunteers that have basically weighed in to help out. To discover, was there problems at their local board of elections? And if so, what kind of problems emerged? So we're pulling something called memo sheets. Now, memo sheets, these are on election day. We're focusing primarily on election day right now, although we're going to expand it to early voting as well. And of course, unfortunately, we have 35 days of early voting in Ohio. And that, in my opinion, has lent itself to an atmosphere to allow for voter fraud. And that's what I think our findings are going to be indicating once we present our findings to the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, members of the General Assembly, and to the media in a press conference at a time to be named later. By the way, those who are listening right now, if you have a story of irregularity, or you had a problem with a provisional ballot or a voting machine, or basically something that you felt that wasn't quite right on Election Day at your polling location, I want to encourage you to contact the Ohio Christian Alliance at 330-887-1922. You can phone our staff. You can leave a message if it's over the weekend. We'll have someone get back to you. You can also email us at contact@ohioca.org. We'll be back in touch with you and follow up on your report. Now, why that's important, Brian, is because the memo sheets, let's go back to the memo sheets, they are what poll workers have written out of any kind of problem on Election Day, whether somebody came to the desk, they weren't on the book, they gave them a provisional ballot. And what we're finding sometimes is that if they're not doing their due diligence at the polling location, those ballots, instead of going in the envelope to go back to the Board of Election as a provisional ballot, are finding their way into the voting machine. And we've got numerous instances of that either in the memo sheets or incident reports. Now, if it's not in either one of those, we have eyewitness reports and people are signing sworn statements that will be presented to the Secretary of State where these kinds of occurrences took place, but that the poll workers, for whatever reason, did not deem it important enough to put in a memo sheet. The memo sheet kind of tells us, gives a chronology of happenings on Election Day. The incident reports rise to a higher level. That's Form 405, Secretary of State Incident Report. That is to be submitted back to the Secretary of State. What's alarming is we have one county so far that gave us a cover letter that said we didn't deem anything important enough in the incident reports to forward on to the Secretary of State. That's not their call. The form clearly states by law that it's to be forwarded to the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State can't deal with a problem if he doesn't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's correct. You know, there's some systemic pressure on booth workers not to write down issues because they fear that it might reflect poorly on them. Let me give you an example. Person comes in to vote, and the booth workers properly tell them, because of one reason or another, you need to vote a provisional ballot. You're not in our registration books. We don't have any record of you as a voter. Our records indicate you've already voted absentee. Any sort of number of reasons. So they issue that person a provisional ballot. Then the voter is supposed to vote the ballot, fold it in half, put it in the yellow envelope, and it goes to the Board of Elections. After the election, they qualify the ballot. If all the rules have been followed, they open it up and count it. Well, some voters don't like that. What they do, and this happens, is they fill out their ballot in the voting stall, and then they ditch the yellow envelope, and they tear off the stub, and they put it into the scanner so that it's into the count, and it's scanned and counted behind the booth worker's back. In other words, the booth worker that issues the yellow provisional envelope is at the table. The booth worker that is at the return ballot scan machine doesn't know. And so they don't want their ballot to go in and be held in abeyance and possibly counted, possibly not be counted after the election. So they rush the booth worker with a scan and try and get away with one. Most of the time, the booth workers will see that. They'll catch that. And that's something they should report. But because they didn't catch it, sometimes they don't want to write that up on a memo sheet and refer that voter to the Board of Elections for further investigation because they think it makes them look bad. And they want to be rehired in the next election.
Well, that's right. Nobody wants to tell the boss we had problems, and we didn't have a few, we had a lot. Even when it comes to local Board of Election, we're finding out that employees of the Board of Election are having issues, and they're not always reporting them. So again, the Secretary of State cannot deal with what hasn't been reported to him. That's why this citizens audit is critical. And quite honestly, it's gaining momentum. Again, if you would like to participate, you could log on and email us, contact@ohioca.org, Phone our line at 330-887-1922. We're working with citizens groups from across the state of Ohio. Now, the Secretary of State knew of our effort, and he started getting reports into his office. Now, he has done, he actually gave a speech back in January. He said, if people are aware of a situation where they have evidence of fraud or evidence where someone was disenfranchised, we want to give them a forum for providing substantiated evidence that those things happened, because in any case, it should be resolved. He goes on to say, if you have firsthand evidence, would be available for a case to be considered legitimate. So that's why we're presenting these sworn statements to the Secretary of State. He says, in a case of fraud, then we need to prosecute it and provide that it as a deterrent for future elections. And that's what the intent is here, Brian. This has been a growing problem. Here's what we have currently in Ohio, as you know. Provisional ballots. What's a provisional ballot? Well, someone goes in on election day to their polling location or any polling location. They're not on the register book. They can't be turned away. They must be given a ballot, and that's to be a provisional ballot. And as you just described, it's to go into an envelope. It then is given back to the Board of Election. The board then has employees that will look over that to see if that person truly is registered. If they're not, that vote doesn't get counted, ideally. But we're finding that when they've been given a provisional ballot, they may walk over and scan it in the machine anyways if someone's not looking and doing due diligence. One of our recommendations to the Secretary of State and to the Boards of Election, because we're finding a lot of sloppy activity and sloppy work, quite honestly, is better training. We're not just going to present the problems of the situation. We're also going to present some solutions. And one of the things I think that the time has come is photo ID requirement in Ohio. This has already surfaced at the Ohio General Assembly as a possible piece of legislation. It polls at 70%. Regardless if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, doesn't matter what your party affiliation, nobody wants fraud. And what we're proving is not only do we have fraud in Ohio, we have sloppy activity, poor training. We have 35 days of open voting. The Golden Week. Explain to our audience what Golden Week is.
Golden Week was something that came up by accident in Ohio law in 2005 when Ohio eliminated the requirement that you provide a reason for voting absentee. There were 16 reasons that would qualify you to vote absentee. They eliminated all 16 of those reasons that said any voter can vote for any reason 35 days before the election. Ohio's election law also said that you have until 30 days before the election to register to vote. So what that meant was there was a five-day window where you could walk in, register to vote, and vote on the same day. And the problem with that is when you register to vote on the same day and vote on the same day, there's no chance for the Board of Election to verify, qualify your voting. After a person registers to vote, the Board of Elections, by law, sends them a postcard informing them of their polling location. But the purpose of that postcard is not only to inform the voter of their polling location, it's also to confirm that you exist as a person at that address and can receive mail at that address. If that letter is returned to the post or returned to the Board of Election as undeliverable, it undermines the veracity of your existing at that address as a qualified voter. And that allows then the board to flag you and make you vote a provisional ballot should you show up at the polls on election day, and to further prove your address and identity. When a person but because of that accidental quirk in the law, where for those 5 days, 35 to 30 days before the election,
yes,
where you can register to vote and vote on the same day, the board is not given the opportunity to verify your existence, and that opens up an opportunity, a window, if you will, for shenanigans. It seems to me, it's very offensive to me that certain political operatives in 2006, when this was first came into effect, immediately labeled this as Golden Week. What's so golden about it? What is so special about the ability to register to vote on the same day that, the reason they called it Golden Week is because they thought they had an opportunity for a felon. And under Ohio, if you're incarcerated as a felon, you're prohibited from voting. you have to re-register after you're out of your incarceration. What this allowed some people to do, and that is also for back then, included probation incarceration. So this allowed, they thought, people of all sorts and stripes to be able to register to vote, not give the Board of Elections an opportunity to verify their legitimacy as a qualified voter, and then vote at the same time. They named it Golden Week because they thought they were getting away with some trickery.
Well, and it's a golden opportunity for fraud, and that's what we've proven here over the last several elections, 2008 into 2012. Even Jennifer Bruner, the former Democratic Secretary of State prior to John Husted, who currently holds the office, testified before an Ohio House committee that Golden Week should be done away with. It was never intended to be in the law. As you said, it was a quirk in legislation. Wanting to expand voting hours so that people felt that that they weren't being denied an opportunity to register and vote, the Ohio General Assembly back in 2006 expanded hours of operation and early voting, but they created a mess, in our opinion. 35 days of early voting with the Golden Week, and then on top of it, this last week, as most listeners will remember, a federal judge stated that the Boards of Election Ohio had to stay open the 3 days prior to the Tuesday presidential election, basically court-ordered voting. Now, the court said, and this judge said, oh, you can handle it. Now, the Secretary of State and the Boards of Election, and Brian, you were a former director of Board of Election, entering into a major presidential election, you're already maxed out by your staff and the extra employees that you've brought in. It's really the straw that breaks the camel back. What you're basically saying is, okay, not only are you preparing for the Tuesday election after you've done these 30 days of early voting, 35 days of early voting, now we want you to open the polls for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday up to 4 o'clock. Now, where that created a problem is you have all this early voting that came in at the last minute. How then were the poll workers to work the polls in the day of election to determine who voted early and who didn't? And we're finding that there was a mess in Cuyahoga County, all across the state of Ohio, where the poll workers were given sheets and saying, mark an A, meaning absentee, next to all these names. Well, you want to talk about the potential for human error. It lent itself to real chaos, and then some of the lists they were given wasn't even accurate, and it wasn't even discovered till midday, Brian. We have testimony of a person who worked the polls, was given a sheet. She indicated the names. People were said, I didn't vote early. They were turned away or given a provisional ballot. In fact, she said, I was indicated early as early voting, and I didn't vote early. Neither did my two adult children who live with me in my house or my neighbor. So these are the kinds of problems that took place. This is what we're going to be reporting. We're going to
first we can't look at absentee voting in a vacuum. There are more than a dozen states in this country that don't even allow absentee voting. Nobody allows 35 days. Ohio stands alone in that huge window of time. Most states who offer absentee voting allow it for 21 days, and those that allow early voting usually allow it for 7 to 10 days. So that you could walk into various places around the county 7 days prior to the election and vote in person. Ohio essentially has a 35-day window for in-person absentee voting and then a 35-day window for voting by mail. That is unprecedented. When you have that window open that long, many fraudulent opportunities come into occurrence. Number two, on the other end, when that court ordered the Boards of Elections to stay open for absentee voting, for walk-in absentee voting on the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the election. What it meant in Summit County, in order for us to properly implement this, or to implement it the best possible way, is we had to print at midnight.
Brian, we're just about winding out of time here, but listen, thanks for being on the program. We're going to have to follow up with another program. Contact us at contact@ohioca.org. Phone us at 330-887-1922. If you have a story of irregularity, voter fraud, we want to hear about it at the Ohio Christian Alliance. Pass this word along. We're going to be dealing with this on a future broadcast as well. Thanks for listening today. Again, you go to our website at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. And again, you can email us at contact@ohioca.org. Thanks for joining us on the program today. We'll follow up with this. A lot to cover here and more to come. God bless. Thanks for being with us today.
You've been listening to Christian News in Focus with Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. For more information, please call 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922. Or visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Christian News in Focus is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, where Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 11. Sunday evening services are held at 6 p.m., and the Wednesday prayer and Bible study is at 6:30. Mantua Country Baptist Church is located at 12385 Chamberlain Road in Aurora, Ohio. To contact the church, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Thank you for listening. And be sure and tune in again next week at this time for another edition of Christian News in Focus with Chris Long.